Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. What's up, Bob?
I wonder what we're going to talk about tonight. Nope. Good.
We're not doing it.
Well, he's not doing it. I saw your tweets today and that. Like, I mean, you have to, though. That's what you do for a living, and you have to at least update people
I will ask you one thing, Bob. Are you surprised that we're here? Are you surprised?
Well, back at the beginning of the process, you know, in the summer or at the beginning of the season, if you asked me if I would be surprised if it goes right down to the last day or two, I would have said, yeah, I'd be surprised. But I think once you kind of got, you know, remember when we said it was the most important week of the negotiations, though? Actually 1 week where we actually met.
That was 5
it,
weeks ago.
And once it got to that point and they didn't, when
Switzerland,
when Dubas went down and met with Louis Gross, and then not too long after that met face to face in Switzerland, that was the window when I thought, okay,
done.
It's going to get done. If it's going to get done, it's going to get done here. And when it didn't get done there, I thought, yeah, you know what, this thing could go. And I keep saying I'm a logical person, and logic says for sure he gets signed. Or if not signed, then traded. And yet I've got to sit here and say, maybe William Nylander's that one unique individual who's not, logic's not going to apply here. So is it possible it goes over the cliff? I guess we're at the edge. The other thing I always say is, once something gets to the edge, it's not that difficult to go over.
No, exactly. Right. Once the 18-wheeler is right there on the edge, we've seen it go over many times.
But if you're Kyle Dubas, and you know, let's just you use the word logic, and I think there's a lot of logic to go around in on both sides. If you know that things would be fractured, and it's a scenario where he's dug in and they've dug in, would you still have to think about the trajectory of your team?
Of course.
So even if it's a smaller situation where, okay, he wants this amount of money, I'm going to have to move this player, you know, Nylander, at the end of the year. You have a lot of money on the cap now. You probably could move him, unless the number's like ridiculous, but I think there would be teams that would take Willie if there's something with a 7 in it. And
this year, you mean right now?
Let's just say
you're saying next summer.
I'm
saying
this
sign
summer.
Him, even
sign
if it costs
6 or 7 years. You could trade him, right?
Absolutely.
So that's where I think
it's not even an issue.
Well, that's my point. Is if it gets to, you know, December 1st and it hasn't happened, I wouldn't see it as a failure if you found a way to get him in. It's going to cost you more, but you know you're going to trade that asset down the road, whether it's, you know,
right. But I still there's a certain value that they're not going to give him 500 more just to say, let's get it over.
Get him
with
in the line, yeah.
And we can trade him in the summer if we need to. You know, they're going to say, this is our perceived value of this guy is X number of dollars, and we're not going to go above X.
Yeah.
Now, and if you do go above X, it's only going to be by like 100K, not some crazy number.
Right.
Do you think it's like possible, Bob? Like the relationship, it seems in the past, I think you mentioned other guys that contract stalemate.
And yeah, Turris and Subban, they all got traded eventually. When it went this long.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we keep talking about this, it's all business. True, but it's being conducted by human beings.
Right.
It is.
You know,
but you know what? A lot of that depends on what happened. See, the Turris thing was different because Turris, right from day one in the organization, there was an uneasiness between Turris and the organization almost from the get-go. So that was chronic. So when they finally got the deal done, it was like, okay, good. We've got a deal. We got him on a deal. He's marketable. Let's move him. And the player was open to that, and the team wanted to do it. Nylander's, there hasn't been, you know, friction all the way along, and he's been a member in good standing of the club. He likes playing with Matthews. Matthews likes playing with him. Babcock loves him. You can see that every day of the week. This week he's been talking about how much he loves Willie and he's going to be in the lineup and what have you. So it's a little different. And you can't rule out, but if you're the Leafs, I don't think philosophically you say, oh, we're really unhappy with the way things have gone here. So once we get him signed, we'll move him at the deadline or we'll move him at the draft. They may have to move him at the draft. That's just hockey, though.
Yeah, the business.
And Nylander's been worried about that. I think the Nylander's agent's being concerned about that from the get-go. Oh, we're just going to sign and get a club-friendly number, and then they're going to move us. Well, yeah. Maybe they will, but that's the National Hockey League. You don't get trade protection until you're 7 years in. Yeah.
Well, if you listen to Babcock today, he expects Nylander to play 20 seasons in Toronto and then retire. And
Mike, he's talking.
Of course he's talking. I mean,
he's sending messages to Willie. He's sending messages to the agent. He's sending messages to Kyle Dubas. And on top of everything else, he's just saying, hey, you know what? I'm a coach, and I want the best possible team I can have. You know, the Leafs are a really good hockey team. Mm-hmm. They are. And you can see on a night when, and there have been more of them lately, where Johnsson's starting to do now what I thought he was going to do at the beginning of the season. So now all of a sudden, you got the two guys that were labeled fourth liners at the beginning of the year, and they were flanking Auston Matthews last night, Johnsson and Kapanen. These guys are good hockey players. They're really good. Doesn't mean they don't need Nylander. It doesn't mean, oh, yeah, now we can trade Nylander. It means imagine how good they're going to be if you can get Nylander back into the lineup and you just kind of move the pieces around, and that's a four-line deep team that could do some real damage.
No, they're scary good. Like, they're scary talented. And last night, I think they've played two games against San Jose that have been thoroughly entertaining, high pace. Both teams have had great opportunities. Just in both games, the Leafs have tapped them in. Like, they've outskilled a very skilled team.
And back to the notion of, there's a lot of people saying, well, they're going to trade Nylander at the, you know, for sure they're going to want to trade him at the draft. Well, what if he comes in and scores 30-plus in a shortened season? What if he gets 14 goals in the playoffs and the Leafs go to the conference final and Nylander's a star? And so what are you going to say? Well, financially, but that's where you make discretionary moves and you say, well, we could trade Nylander, or we could move these two guys, or
right.
We could do this or whatever. So there's no, you know, there's never any one path with the salary cap. There's a lot of different ways to
sort it out.
To find the money or not.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Erik Karlsson back in Ottawa on Saturday night. Strange scene last night where he was setting up for a scrum.
Yeah.
And I believe the media was told, don't ask him about Ottawa. And then someone asked him the first question and he just sent him out of here. But I don't know what to think about this. Like, what?
What are you? You're going back to Ottawa. Do you not want to answer a question about that?
It's a massive story. Is he trying to figure out the backstory to that?
Like, you know, if were they specifically asked? Like,
yeah, hey, I don't know what the answer to the question is, but I'm going to guess, and it's just a guess. I guess we should phone up Kenny Campbell, because I think it was Kenny Campbell.
It was Kenny. Yep. There was Kenny.
Little ball of hate asked him
right in there,
and so I don't know. You know, if Karlsson gave, or, you know, either this works one of two ways. Either Karlsson goes to the media guys and say, I don't mind talking about the game tonight, but I'm going to be all Ottawa'd out tomorrow. I got to go on Friday, and I'm doing a media availability in Ottawa. That's going to be my Ottawa time. I'm not talking Ottawa tonight. Then the media guys would say, okay, just so you know, guys, he's going to come out here, but he's not the thing. Or sometimes media guys want to get out in front of it, and they know that it's not something that he wants to do right now, especially after them getting dusted. And he didn't. I didn't see.
I didn't like his game last night.
From what I heard, I was doing the NBC thing in the States. I watched the third period, but a lot of people said he didn't play well. So, you know, the media person's probably being proactive and thinking he doesn't want to talk about what he's going to talk about all day
tomorrow.
Maybe
he's just pissed off, Bobby, and didn't want to talk about anything.
Well, but
that was a good excuse, maybe. But in any case, any media person's free to. And again, that's when it gets into people judge the media and say, well, should Kenny Campbell have if he was told by the PR people he's not talking Ottawa, and then you ask the Ottawa question, you know, is that cool? Or is that just designed to get the reaction that you got?
I think it shines a light on Erik that he probably doesn't want. Like, to me, even if they had warned the reporters and said, you know, Erik just doesn't want to talk about it because he's going to, all Erik had to say is, you know what, guys, I'm going to
see
talk
that,
a lot about,
no,
instead
Ottawa,
of walking away.
And that, and, but,
it,
but
can we just keep it tonight?
You know, but you know? Go to the other line,
right?
They got beat. He didn't play well.
Yeah. So, answer the questions.
So it's an opportunity for a guy just to say, yeah, okay, thanks, we're out of here.
Get me out of here.
Whatever. Yeah. And, you know, that's every player, every athlete has the right to say, what? You can ask your questions, but I'm not talking tonight.
I remember, I've seen guys quit on interviews before because of dumb questions. I think I was telling you guys this off air. Sundin scored, I think, his 500th goal on Kiprusoff. I was sitting right there. Yeah. And some dope, literally in the scrum, goes, did you know that was his 500th goal? Is that why you let it in? And Kipper just looked at him and was like, all right, I'm
out of here.
You're an idiot. Yeah. But yeah, I let it in.
Overtime.
But, who the hell asked that question? That's the first and foremost.
Well, that's on, exactly.
In a perfect world, Erik Karlsson should have went up there and said, I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm here to talk about the game.
Right.
You've got questions about the game. I'm more than happy to talk about them. I'm talking about Ottawa tomorrow.
Right.
Which is interesting because it could open the door to, all right, let's talk about your game tonight.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. How do you think you played? Because what I saw didn't look that
good. I thought
great.
You really sucked tonight. What did you think?
Exactly.
And then you said, okay, see you later.
Let's get some Ottawa chat going here quickly.
Yeah, I'll talk about Ottawa.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it's going to be fun to return.
I'm doing that game on Saturday.
But what's up with him? I don't profess to watch every single game in San Jose. I don't.
I think there was a little stretch there in the last couple of weeks where there were some games where he really started to look like he was coming, but it hasn't been there on a consistent basis. And you always allow for the adjustment period. It's a big adjustment. You only ever play for one team in your career. You're in Ottawa, and now you're going to San Jose. And it's not just him. I mean, their team hasn't been firing all cylinders either.
They're up and down, boy.
And, they're not. They don't appear to be an overly quick team. But you would think he would add to that.
They're a good team, though.
They're still a good team, but they're not playing close to where they expect to be playing.
Well, even Couture came out last night. He's a pretty honest interview. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he gets really owly.
He just shoots right from the hip, and he's like, we're not even close to where we need to be. He just flat out said it. We're a better team than this, but we're not even close to where we need to be. And, I think Karlsson, there's obviously more there. Burns is such a unique player. I love watching him because he's not shy to hold the line if he's the last guy back, bouncing puck. He's batting at it. He's like Doughty to me. Those guys just play within that reckless tone, but they have so much confidence. They just do things out there. And Carlson's like that, but he's not at that level yet. Comfort level.
Any idea what they have planned for him on Saturday? Or
no idea.
Obviously, a video montage.
It's a 1 o'clock game. I'm doing the game. I have no idea. I'm sure there's got to be.
It's spicy though. Because
you never know if you get the video tribute.
Well, he's getting a video tribute.
Listen, he deserves it. But if I'm not mistaken, he demanded a trade. Did he not?
Yeah, but I don't think he's getting. Do you think he's going to get?
No way.
I'm not saying he gets booed, but I could see where the organization's you didn't want to be here. So
I thought Pierre.
He wanted to be there.
And Pierre
did
Dorion
want to
come
there?
Out.
He would have liked to have stayed in Ottawa
with that owner. He wanted to be there.
Under the right set of circumstances, he would have stayed with that owner. I think if he found out that he was getting market value and they were going to spend to the cap,
is not happening.
I think Pierre Dorion actually made a point saying, we traded him. He did not ask for a trade. I believe
he never angled to get out of Ottawa. I think he got tired of the whole routine after a while and would probably welcome the move by the time it happened. But he never forced it, that's for sure.
Ty Ratty's a healthy scratch again tonight, and we haven't talked a lot about him. He had a great camp. I mean, he's not a guy who's been established in the NHL, but...
Right.
He must have just been stewing when they hired Hitchcock.
Had him in St. Louis, didn't do well with him.
Wouldn't play
Hitch
him.
Hitch is saying that all the right things now. Different, I understand he's a better player now than he was.
No, he's not.
He still hates him.
Yeah. Healthy scratch.
We're trying to structure our lineup a certain way, and he doesn't fit in it tonight.
There are some, but don't you think, I honestly feel like Babcock thinks about Josh Levo that way. In a way, as soon as Nylander comes back, who comes out?
That's the obvious choice, I would think.
Right.
Fourth line.
But Levo has been a great soldier. He's a very good player. But I just when I look at trusted players by coaches and that, I think there's a layer there that's something that and I've been on teams where I know the coach doesn't like that player. And I'm not suggesting Babs does not like Levo. I'm saying
he just likes a lot of guys better.
Exactly. There's other guys on his depth chart. And that's, you know, Hitch is looking at Ty Ratty and saying, I've seen that before.
But you're right. There's like so many players, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but it's there's so many players, I'm sure, when the coaching change gets made right away, there's like one guy in the team that's like, oh, no.
Yeah. What do you think?
No.
I had Paul Maurice my whole career. Pat Quinn's the coach. They fire him. Guess who they hire? I'm in my cottage, and it's like, Maple Leafs hire Paul Maurice. I'm like, what? I can't get away from this guy. Like, I've had him Hartford, Carolina. This is the only coach I've ever had. I get traded to another team. They hired the same guy.
There you go.
Yeah. I was just...
But he played you in Carolina, though. He didn't sit you in the press box and...
No, but there was enough history there that it probably...
There was some nervous energy.
How many times have I been in this guy's office where he's like, no, just the meetings. I think back at those meetings and it just, oh my God.
But you're at your cottage, like, do you immediately, like,
worse
just
than
put the beer down
than
and
getting
go
ready
out
for a quiz?
It's similar.
Like, is it?
Like, chin scratching, beard scratching.
Just rattle your cage.
Paul Maurice.
That would have ruined your day.
Oh, yeah. He gave me the assistant captain. I'm like, I'm a big wheel now. I'm an assistant captain. I'm a leader. I'm like a part of the core group. The day that I got the A, we were playing, I think it was Edmonton or something that night, and I took a penalty and I smashed my stick in half across the glass. Lost the A next day.
Sure, that went well.
I went right in. That was the first time I said to myself, I don't care what happens to me. I'm going in that coach's office and I am just tearing a strip off him. And I wheeled in there and I was like
a storming.
Oh, yeah. I wheeled in there and I was just like,
that's very gratifying feeling.
Bleep you, bleep you, shove your bleeping A, you know, I just left. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen after that, but.
Don't know, don't care.
No. Don't know, don't care.
See
you in
Toronto,
give me the A,
the
and I take one dumb penalty and you take it away from me.
Anything else going on here, Bob, with insider trading and stuff, or what?
Nah, same old, you know, a little bit of Nylander talk, a little Seattle. 2020 for Seattle or 2021? That's the question. They're coming in. They're going to get voted in on Tuesday. 32nd team in the NHL. Question is, they want the guys that own the team.
They want 2020.
They want 2020, but unless things have changed, the rink's not going to be ready until the first week in November. So that means you got to start on the road for all of October.
Yeah.
And if there's any little delay along the way,
that's another month.
Then you know how that can go. Now, they say, no, there's no chance. We're going to, you know, and that. I think the NHL, and I don't think it's just labor-related. People automatically, they want to have a lockout in 2020, so they want to push to 2021. I just think that they want this team to start the season as a normal team, not on the road for a month or whatever. So there is a perception that maybe the league would prefer 2021. All I know is that they're going to get approved on Tuesday, barring some natural disaster. And we'll know by the time they all leave whether it's for fall of 20 or fall of 21. Because the teams want to know, when's the expansion draft? What's going on here? We need to know. We're making personnel decisions at the trade deadline as to whether this guy's eligible for an expansion draft or not, and when we have it, and they need to know all that stuff.
So they get approved on Tuesday, Bobby. They name a GM when?
Like, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think they'll wait too long.
They can't, really?
Yeah. Guess again, a little bit of it would depend on 2020 or 2021, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure George McPhee was trolling around rinks like a year in advance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Him and Kelly McCrimmon.
They got in there quickly.
You got to pre-scout the whole league.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
All right, boys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN
when
Hockey
we talk
Insider.
Next.
Something's going to have to give.
Something will
over, baby.
Something
one way
happened.
Or the other.
Exactly.
For a while.
If Carlson does not get a video tribute, I'm going to Ottawa and I'm buying him a case of beer and we'll sit down and talk about
it. You know what they should do? They should just put his picture up on the screen and say, thanks, Eric.
Yeah, that's it.
Just a slide.
TV timeout.
Just make it as simple as possible. Put no effort into it.
I'm the
best
only guy in
team
the history,
history
of the game that not get a tribute.
Well,
you're
maybe
over
you're
it,
number
though.
Two.
Yeah,
it's
not a sore spot.
You're not a jaded individual at all. No. Our best bet brought to you by ProLine. Connor Carrick got one. He didn't even play.